Today, as we come into the presence of our God Almighty to worship Him, to praise Him, to bring glory to His name, I hope you're standing or sitting in reverential awe and great fear of His almighty power and also of His great love for us. Amen? Amen. Have you ever suffered greatly? I think the greatest suffering I've ever endured was when my mother died so unexpectedly. I grieved and grieved and grieved. And God sent a tremendous number of people to comfort me. I was so blessed that so many were there. But even with so many people there comforting, it still couldn't remove the pain. Have you ever sat with someone in deep sorrow? The best thing you can do is just sit there. Just sit and be quiet. If they want to speak, listen. Don't offer solution. The thing is to be there and let them grieve. In the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, Jeremiah is grieving tremendously over the destruction of the holy city of Jerusalem. As the city is burning in flames, as the temple is destroyed, as the people are stripped and carried off into captivity with no dignity whatsoever, he is grieving and lamenting. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 1. Lamentations chapter 1. It's a small book that follows the book of Jeremiah. It was written by Jeremiah, and it's basically five great laments that he speaks in such a horrific situation. It can be referred to as a river flowing with tears because Jeremiah cries throughout. You think, well, why should we study this book of such great suffering and such mourning? How could it bless us? What benefit is it to us? Well, Jeremiah's book of Lamentation is of great benefit for people today who are carrying heavy burdens. It's a tremendous benefit if you have suffered unfairly and you still have to live righteously before God. It's of great information if you're having trouble with your relationship with God and what may be causing that. Or you're deep in sin and you need encouragement to restore your hope. It's a benefit if you've relied more on others than of God to see what can happen. Or if you've searched for tragic loss and you need encouragement to rise above your grief. It also teaches about how deceived a whole city of people, a whole nation of people can become. Or if you want to dwell on God's compassion and His compassionate heart that will never leave you nor forsake you if you will cling to Him. Lamentations presents to us the catastrophic results of a nation who forsakes righteousness. And we're at a crossroad in our nations today. In our nation today, it's whether we will pursue righteousness or we'll totally turn to sin. So I want us to notice chapter 1. Chapter 1 focuses on suffering. And first I want us to notice that Jeremiah records Jerusalem suffering all alone. The city has suffered total devastation. She sits there alone. Look at verse 1. Jeremiah says, "How lonely sits the city that were full of people. How like a widow has she become? She was great among the nations. She was a princess among the provinces, has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night and tears on her cheeks." This beautiful city is destroyed. And he puts forth three major contrasts in verse 1. First, the city was heavily populated. Now it sits all alone. The city used to be great among the nations. And now it's nothing but a widow. And the city used to be a princess, but now she's a slave. He contrasts of how great Jerusalem used to be and now how devastated she is. He says she sits alone like a widow. And when we think about the social status of widows in the Near East at that time, you know, widows had no one to defend them. They had no one to stand up for them. They were abused. They were taken advantage of. And we think of Jerusalem, that occurring to her. She said that as a widow because she has lost her great husband, the Lord God Almighty, her great protector, her great provider, because she would not respect and return the love he had for her. She now sits all alone in great grievance. Well, why? What happened? Look at verse 8. It says, Jerusalem sinned grievously. Therefore, she became filthy. Look at verse 5. Her foes have become the head of her enemies proper because the Lord has afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. What happened? She sinned tremendously against God, and God punished her. How lonely sits the city. The Hebrew word lonely means to be torn from, to be ripped away from a prior situation. When she was cream of the crop, as far as the other nations were concerned, and she's been ripped from that position to be worth nothing. She's gone into exile, and she's held in great contempt. She's suffering. The city empty, the gates are broken, the roads are empty. Why? All because of sin. Have you ever been devastated by sin in your life? I mean, deeply, it's something deeply personal. It's a spiritual reckoning. You realize finally how far you have fallen away from God. You don't think of sin as a mistake. You see it as a fractured soul whose fellowship with God has been destroyed because you chose to sin. Oh, pain may not be immediate. It may creep in slowly by broken trust and by deep grieving and by lack of peace. Jeremiah says Jerusalem fell away. The people lament. And she has sinned greatly and has the haunting echoes of choices made in darkness. Ever been devastated by sin? Due to choices made in darkness away from God? Look what happened because she turned from God. That can happen in our lives if we turn from God. Oh, sin can cause innocent people to suffer. Her virgins, her young men, the whole city's grieving. Sin can cause you to be all alone. You lose your friends because of the lies you've told to hide your sin. You lose trust with people because they no longer believe what you say. And you sit there suffering all alone. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden? And they felt their tremendous shame because they recognized they were naked and separated from God. Remember Cain after he killed Abel? He was sent to wander all alone in the world, marked. Those mirror what happens when people choose to live for themselves instead of living for God. And that's what will happen to me if I choose to live for myself. But sin can cause a great awakening within me for the need for redemption. Oh, Jerusalem is devastated. She was totally unprepared after prophetic warning after warning after warning that it was coming. She wasn't ready at all for what occurred. That's the trap of sin. You still feel confident about who you are life still good, going on as it is? And you think no one will forgive you because of the things you've done. That's the trap, thinking total isolation is better than forgiveness. I can separate myself and live my life totally isolated from the people of God. Well, you have a choice to make. Will you flee from sin or will you suffer all alone? Jerusalem is suffering. Jerusalem is suffering in great agony. They're being tormented. And it says, everyone groaned. Look down in verse 4. The rose to Zion mourn, for none come to the festival. All her gates are desolate. Her priests groan. It says the rose to Zion mourn because they're empty. The rose to Zion, all the roads north, south, east, and west were filled with multitudes coming to the annual feast, filled with joy. And now there's no one on them at all. It's like the roads are grieving because no one's traveling them anymore. It says the priests are groaning as if they're still there. Jeremiah's using them figuratively. Many of the priests fled when the king fled to try to escape and they were taken captive. Many of the priests were killed. Many were taken into exile. But it says that they're groaning because no one's coming to the city anymore to seek out God. Not only did the priests groan, but the city itself groaned. Look at verse 8. Jerusalem sinned grievously, therefore she has become filthy. All who honored her despise her, for they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns her face away. It says everyone has seen her nakedness. That Hebrew word means indecently exposed. The city is groaning and she turns her face away out of tremendous shame, not wanting anyone to see what a pathetic state she has followed into. You know, she lost everything in three areas. She lost her purity in being exposed. She lost her vision. In verse 9, her uncleanness was in her skirts. She took no thought of her future. You know, the desire for sinful things will destroy your precept of the future. The hunger and lust after sin will make you just think in the here and now, I've got to be satisfied about where it will lead to you if you stay on that path. She lost her purity. She lost her vision. And she lost her power. She's no longer a nation among the nations. People are laughing at her in derision. Not only that, verse 11 says, the people are groaning. All her people groan as they search for bread. They trade their treasures for food to revive their strength. Let me tell you something. If you're starving half to death, you will give anything for food. Your gold, your jewels, precious stones, anything, all the money you have just to get a crust of bread to eat to keep you alive. That's what's going on in the city. The city has been in siege and they've run out of food. And people are trying to find anything worth any value to anyone to trade just to get bread to eat. And then finally, the destruction. If you drop on down to verse 21, we had the anonymous listeners who heard her groaning. It says, they heard my groaning, yet there is no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my trouble, and they're glad that you have done it. Verse 22, very last part of the verse, she says, for my groans are many, and my heart is faint. This city sits in groaning with no relief in sight whatsoever. You know, overcoming agony doesn't begin with the absence of pain. It begins with the presence of hope. When you finally sit there and realize that you've come away from God, and you understand if you turn back to Him, you have the hope of forgiveness. You have the hope of recovery. You have the hope of being made whole again. You know, the psalmist says, weeping may endure for a night, But joy comes in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 5. Oh, it doesn't erase, but it redeems. When I turn to God, when I pray unto Him, when I have my church family there to turn to and support, when the work of God's grace is active in my life, then hope is restored. Oh yeah, agony may bend us low, but it cannot break us. It cannot take us from God if we trust in His faithfulness. Jerusalem has stopped trusting in Him. But you know, lamenting in ashes of sorrow will develop resilience. And in depth of pain, deeper peace can emerge. Jerusalem suffered through abandonment. Have you ever felt abandoned? All of a sudden you feel like no one's hearing you. No one's seeing you. No one is listening to you. Maybe my voice is too weak that I'm not crying loud enough. Maybe people are just choosing not to hear me. And I said abandoned, all alone, suffering. You know, the greatest part of pain is not the pain itself. It's not having anyone to share it with you. No one there to support you as you go through such tremendous suffering. Well, Jerusalem had no one to comfort her. Look at verse 2. It says, she weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks among all of her lovers. She has none to comfort her. All of her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. All of her lovers have turned away. All of her friends have turned away. All the other nations who used to support her are no longer there. They're laughing at her. If you drop down to verse 9, it says, her uncleanness was in her skirt. She took no thought of her future. Therefore, her fall is terrible. She has no comforter. In verse 16, for a comforter is far from me. Verse 17, none to comfort me. Verse 19, they heard my groaning, yet there is no one to comfort me. He says, how lonely is the city? Ever been in a situation that there was no one to comfort you? The city's grieving. Why? All because of sin and failing to repent. Have you ever been devastated by sin? I mean, sin, it's deeply personal, but it can cause a spiritual awakening. Sin can drive us from God. Sin can drive us to despair, but we must stay true to God. It's not just the shame that weighs heavily. It's being separated from your Father. And as you're enjoying your sin, you don't even realize you're separated. The devastation hits. Sin causes innocent people to suffer. Her virgins are mentioned as being afflicted. They lost their purity by being raped. Her young men, the future and strength of the city, were being slaughtered. The innocent were suffering. All because of sin. Do you know that Jerusalem was totally helpless? Verse 7. When her people fell into the hand of woe, and there was none to help her. Utterly helpless because no one would come to her aid. Utterly helpless. Do you know the book of Lamentations is read every year on the ninth day of Av? They read the book to remember the destruction of the temple by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. They read it in remembrance of the destruction of the temple by Titus of Rome. And they imagine the people crying out as they had no food to feed their children. Crying out as their young men were slaughtered. Crying out as the priest and the royal family was carried off. Crying out as the people were stripped of their dignity and chained together and marched out of the city. Crying out as the roads mourned. Crying out as the virgins were raped, crying out as pagans were in their temple, destroying it, taking away the precious things of God, crying out for relief. But none came. All because of sin. Yahweh deserted them. Have you ever felt that kind of loneliness? Being totally separated from God? Have you ever felt like no one cared? Do you remember David saying, look to the right and see. That is the right where a protector should be, where an advocate should be. Look to the right and see. No one takes notice of me. No one cares for my soul. David said it didn't matter if he lived or died. It wouldn't make a difference to anyone. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been so depressed, so distraught, in such a horrible situation that you just want to die and you think no one would notice either way? It wouldn't affect anyone? That's where the city is. That's where we are sometimes when sin affects us so greatly that it drives us to the ground. And if we don't remember to look up, we get in such a dark place that we think about taking our lives just to get out of the suffering. And it's not going to matter. No one's going to care. Because sin is driving you there. Is there anyone to comfort you? Do you have anyone who comforts you in your sorrow and pain? Do you have anyone who comes to your aid? Let me tell you, when you feel all alone, when you feel like no one cares about you, when you feel like life's not worth living because there's no one there, let me tell you, you are not alone. God is with you. And our God is the God of all comfort. Paul told the church in Corinth, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Now, five times he's going to use the word comfort. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. When you're feeling totally alone, God is there, and God will help his people. Isaiah 41 and 2, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. And then in the very next verse, Isaiah says, God is coming to comfort his people. Verse 3, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places the plain. You probably recognize that as a prophecy of the coming of John the Baptist, crying in the wilderness, prepare you a way for the Lord. God is coming to comfort his people. Will you let God comfort you? If you have sin in your life today, you're standing ready to be devastated. But you can turn back to God, repent of that sin, and be back in fellowship with him on that straight and narrow leading to glory. Or if you're not a Christian today, you don't have to be alone. God is ready to be your Father. If you repent of your sins, confess you believe Jesus is the Christ, be fully immersed in water to have your sins washed away, to walk in newness, rise and walk in newness of life as a child of God. If you need to come to God today, you don't have to suffer alone. Please respond to the front now as we stand and sing.